Well, good morning out there in radio land. Good morning to Owensboro, Kentucky, 98.3, Hinesville, Glasgow, 91.1, and Litchfield, Hardinsburg, 91.5. It's good to be with you guys this morning. What a day the Lord has made. What a glorious day it is to be alive in the kingdom of our great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the day that the Lord has made. And this is the day that anything is possible. Why? Because we serve a God of the impossible. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, He's more than enough. If you don't know Him today, He's knocking at the door of your heart saying, "Can I come in?" Hallelujah. Amen. It's Tuesday, so we got Pastor Josh in the house. How are you doing, Pastor Josh?
Pretty well, Brother Aaron, pretty well. So just glad for another day and another opportunity that I have to come and be with you guys on the radio. So it's pretty awesome. I was telling somebody yesterday about now at a particular job. I said, "Look, I won't be here till a little bit later tomorrow." I said, "I got radio in the morning." They said, "Oh yeah, well you do." So I told them. So they said they may tune in. So if they are this morning, good morning.
Welcome
to
in.
You. Welcome in. So hopefully they're tuned in and be able to hear a mighty great broadcast in the next couple hours. So,
well, hallelujah, Miss Hannah. How are you doing?
Doing good. It's hard. It is different getting back into the
flow.
The flow, yeah. But it is good to be back.
Well, my commute to work is a lot longer now, so
that's what I was thinking, brother. Yeah, you got to wake up 30 seconds earlier than what you used to.
It's
just
pretty
to
rough.
Get here.
It's pretty rough. You got to make a lot more curves and turns.
Hey, it used to take you about 2 minutes to tell us how you got here. Now, there ain't no telling how long it'll take you before you tell us how you got here.
When you walk out to the left and you get in the truck, you take down this straight stretch, then there's uphill both ways.
That's right.
You got to face polar bears and sharks.
Yeah, there you go.
It's pretty rough. It's a treacherous trip.
Oh, man.
You got to prepare for it. You got to bring lunches and snacks and Cokes. But we make it. We endure, and we make it every single morning. Now, whenever it's frosty outside, not salty. I said frosty.
Yep.
Can they mean the same thing? Can we, like, make a new word up? Like, instead of saying it's salty, we say it's frosty? Like, cold-hearted?
You made up a lot of words during it, so, yeah, I guess we can, brother.
Yeah, I do make up a lot of words. People say that all the time.
That's all right.
But I have to, like, hold my head out the window because, you know, I'm not waking up an extra 5 minutes to defrost the window. Wow. So I'll just drive with my head out the window.
Yeah. That'll really wake you up if it's real cold outside. That'll really wake you up if you do that. So I know a lot of people, you know, they prefer around here to start their vehicle, but then some people just get in there and go, even in the winter.
Now, this is an important question now. I know it's summer.
Yeah.
But I have heard both ways. It's really bad on your vehicle. Just let it sit there and warm up, and I've heard it's good for it.
Yeah, I've heard it both ways as well. See, now they make those vehicles, of course, on my newer truck now, if you don't press this button, every time you come to a stop, like even when it's running, every time you come to a stop, it just stops. Mm. So I don't know, does y'all's van or anything do that?
Yes, okay. I hate it.
Is there a button you can touch to kind of get away from it? But anyway, so
yeah,
it's just crazy how it works.
Kind of looks like the Avengers A.
That's it. Yep, same button.
It's like you're calling the shield.
That's right.
The Avengers in.
I mean, there for a minute, you know, that's why they say they do that, so. I don't know.
They say it doesn't hurt the vehicle at all, but has it not hurt the starter? Like,
I know
a starter only has so many starts, right? Like,
eventually
it's going to wear out.
So. The starter or that button, I think, what if that button? It ain't a key I can just turn. It's a button that's got to, you know.
And if you're heavy on the brake and you push in all the time, like,
yep.
I don't know. They say it saves gas.
Well.
But I just don't know how it does.
I got you.
Those button cars throw me off. I've been driving a 2005 for so long.
Yeah, the first time I ever got a Hannah's car to move it, I was like, how in the world do you even do this thing? It takes two hands to move the gear shift.
Yeah, I got you.
Because you have to, like, push in a button on one hand and then move it with the other hand.
Yeah.
I figured it out eventually. But
there you go.
So, but it is good to be with you guys on this beautiful July 9th, 2024. And we're excited for what the Lord has in store for us on the broadcast this morning. We got Kingdom Corner this morning, the manna is what we call it. That's right. Morning manna's this morning. I'm kind of disappointed I can't really say, like, the homecoming legend anymore because you're not really probably going to do many homecomings.
Yeah.
But you are a pastor, so you still love fried chicken. It's in the contract.
I bet every
pastor,
right?
On every pastor, it's in the contract. You must love fried chicken.
I got you.
Now, nothing about green beans or anything like that. It's just fried chicken.
No, man, you got to love them green beans too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got your phone now?
Huh?
You got your new
Me a new phone now, but I have not got all my contacts in it because my other phone, you and Heather tried to help me out on it, but
we tried.
Anyway, so
if Heather is dumbfounded on the phone,
yeah,
that's bad.
That means
I will say I took it to one place in Litchfield.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And they said that they believed it was a charging port. Hmm. I said, "Well, how much would it cost to fix it?" They said, "Well, I believe I can fix it for this much." I said, "Well, if you can do it for that much, go for it." Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to get it so I can just transfer all my things over. Mm-hmm. But my iPad at home had a lot of stuff on it as well. So I'm just trying to get this or that or whatever. But I think, to be honest with you, I'm going to go ahead and tell myself this morning, all right? There was one particular game that I played quite a bit on here on my phone. Well, for whatever reason, I cannot get all my stuff, all my levels that I was at. I can't get them transferred to this phone. They're on my iPad at home when I'm at home, but like when I'm out doing whatever, sometimes,
be
honest with you, I'll get on there, whatever, probably spend too much time on it just telling you this morning. And so I'm like, all right, Lord, was that just you just saying, hey, get off that game or whatever, so. Anyway, but that's kind of hard, but I'm just being truthful with you this morning, all right? So.
Heather said, you mean report?
Report.
Heather said, now this, I can confirm this because I did it too.
That's all right.
We did leave it on our wireless chargers all night.
Okay, yeah.
So it,
I got you.
It may not be your charger.
Well, see, I had done that on my truck, too. My truck's got a wireless charger.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, so
I
said.
It may not be the port.
Maybe that's why they ain't called me yet. Because they told me, they said, well, I'll call you in a few days. Well, it's been a little bit longer, but that's all right. That's all right.
Yeah. So but if Heather's dumbfounded, then.
That's all right.
I don't know who else.
Hey, I appreciate y'all trying because, I mean, I knew that that if somebody could get it, it was probably going to be you or Heather.
Not me. Heather has turned my phone on for me. See, I used to be very good techno stuff, and now I refuse to learn anything.
Yeah.
The more you know, the more you have to do, so.
Yeah, because even I was thinking this morning, I think our guest may be, is it going to be Brother Chris?
Mm-hmm.
Brother Chris McGuffin, and I was thinking, you want me to text him? I was like, I don't guess I've transferred his number from my iPad to my phone yet.
So do we need to do this morning?
I don't know about that.
If you have Josh's contact,
hello,
you need to text him.
Let me go hide
your,
this for a minute.
You need to text him your contact information.
Oh, man. But like I said, I will be working on it. So anyway, because they are on my iPad. It's
I
just
got Pastor Chris's number. I can text it to you.
There you go.
My text did go through, so he is coming in this morning.
Good.
But I only have one bar, so if he texts anything else, you might want to text Pastor Aaron if you're listening.
That's right.
Brother Chris.
Or me as well. I think I got
or
a
Facebook.
Couple.
That's what I do a lot when I don't want people's
but
messenger.
I mean, when this happened, though, I thought, man, how much do we really, depend on this or that to even my jobs now? Of course, I got a whole bunch of contacts in there, people that I got work with and stuff like that. So anyway, so it's kind of like, hope everything turns out anyway. So,
Well, Twist and Turns VBS started last night at Kingdom First there in Caneyville, Kentucky. It is going on all the way through July 12th. So I'm sure it's not too late to get your kids over to that one. Our starts on the 23rd, going through the 27th. You want to pre-register for that, please do. Philip Trent sent me the information for the IMC camp meeting last night, August the 2nd and the 3rd at 6:30 p.m., and then the 4th Sunday morning service at 10:30 a.m. So everybody's warmly welcome. Just come on out, be a part of what God's doing there at the camp meeting. We'll keep announcing that for
Is that right there at their church, or where's that at?
I think it is.
Okay.
I think it is. Yep. And he's doing really well. He had some spots removed lately and just doing really well. I asked him about that last night. All is well and all is good. So praise the Lord for that. Brother Philip, if you're listening this morning, we're getting ready to get back in the book of James. We left off at a pivotal part yesterday. Again, for those who may be asking or wondering, that 11 o'clock hour is changing a little bit. Brother Bob Martin's season here is, he's moving on to more missionary-based work, and we understand seasons change and and things move in and things move out. But where God opens one door and shuts another, it's always in His timing and His plan, and He works all things out. And so I'm kind of filling in a little bit right now. I'm not a DJ. I did yesterday, and I'll keep doing it until we get the right person into that hour.
So did you talk in between some songs?
I did.
Not really? Did you?
I did.
Well, see, of course, I was working to have my skill song stuff going. I heard the great music going on from 11 to 12, but, I mean, I guess I missed out on hearing you DJ a little bit. So
I was trying to keep it short. I was very intentional.
But, see, we've talked about it before. I said, well, I talk too much, Hannah. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I could be a DJ. You know, cut it short to the point, you know, get to it, then go on. So,
but I guess I got to say, like, I kind of enjoyed it a little bit because, well, for one, like, I have a lot of – there's a lot of computer work that goes along with the running the radio.
Right.
So, like, during the songs, you're able to get some work done. But then, like, you were also able to look up a quote because you know what song's coming next.
You
so you were able to look up a quote that goes with that song.
Yeah.
So there was a fun factor to it.
That's awesome.
And I will. Awesome. We have an idea of or two, or maybe a person or two that may step into that role.
Yeah.
Eventually. And but you know, it's fun, and I'll try my hardest to do it.
I know.
I'm not a very good DJ. So
even yesterday, I'll be honest with you. Even yesterday afternoon, I mean. I was sitting there working, and just some awesome music was playing. I think you had texted me about 3 o'clock or so, and she's like, "Did you listen?" I said, "Yeah, but I'm listening to a great song right now." So, because that's normally where my job site radio, if I've got it, that it stays on, of course, Box 2 Radio.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people play off their phone, or they play iTunes or, you know, Apple Music or something like that through a Christian station or Pandora or something like that. But I just normally do my old radio or whatever. So.
And we are slowly trying to update our music and get it going. That was one of the biggest requests, is updating some music and a couple other little things. And so, but that 11 o'clock hour, that was the number one response for filling the gap there that we got was a DJ'd hour.
I like that. I like that.
And so I tried my hardest. I'm not a DJ. I don't have the voice for a DJ. You know, DJs are supposed to have that rich, "Welcome into the Box 2 Radio Network." All right.
That's why they do it. They disguise their voice so much they can only do little snippets of it before they call for a deep or something.
I was listening to a recording, and I even had the rerun for last night ready to go. I had it mixed, put it in the folder. I didn't put it in the playlist, so I apologize about that for anybody that went to listen.
So when was it supposed to play again?
It's supposed to play at nine. And so I had it ready, and I didn't. But listening to myself, I'm like, Aaron, you sound really, really country. Like, I don't even realize I sound that country. So I'm going to work on a DJ voice.
Wow.
I'm going to work on it.
All right.
You probably need to come up with a name, like something country.
That's right.
Oh, I got it. DJ Aaron.
That might work for now anyway.
DJ Aaron. All
there
right.
you go.
But it is really difficult.
Yeah.
I did not realize it would be that difficult to keep short. Like, I knew it would, but it's even harder than I thought it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I was very purposeful of, like, two or three times it was 15 to 20 seconds, and then there was one time it was about 45 seconds.
Okay.
And it was really hard. Like,
yep.
I don't know. But if you have requests of music, send them in.
Send them in.
Yeah.
That's good.
I'm not good enough to do it on a fly, so you have to give me a head start.
Oh, yeah. You got to do that. Got to give us some update or whatever. So, because I know we have a mix of different people that listen, like either like Southern gospel or worship music or like contemporary Christian music or things like that. So maybe, you know, have days where you do this or that. But, yeah, hopefully all of it will be very fruitful for the body of Christ, that they'll be able to hear that. I think I told you last week, maybe somebody on their lunch hour or whatever need a little, you know, I need to hear something that will help me to get me through my day, then be able to hear that hour there to be able to do that. So I'm looking forward to it.
A little pump up.
That's right.
Well, you may not be looking forward to it after you hear me.
Oh, can't wait till the day already.
Oh, you just wait. I got a couple ideas.
That's awesome. That's
all right.
Awesome. Where are we at?
Well, we talked about the prostitute already. How's that for saying?
24.
How's that for bringing it in there?
My Lord, you brought her in there, boy.
We just might as well hit the home run. Let's go right for it.
You said you want to go back to 24.
Yeah, 24 is where I want to hang my hat a little bit this morning. You see that a person is justified by works and not faith alone. Now, if we're not careful, we'll confuse like with what Paul's saying in Ephesians chapter 2. I do not think here that James is saying that we're born again or saved by our works. All right. If you go up and lean, contextualize with what he was saying earlier about by his works, his faith was justified. It was basically saying this: his faith was shown to be true. Like it was shown to be true, mm-hmm. because how do we please God? It does not say by works. It says we please God by faith. Faith is the method that we please God.
Right.
And so, but the way that we know our faith is real and true is that it has works.
Right.
So in reality, our faith is justified by our works. Our salvation isn't.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? I hope I'm explaining
that. No, it does make sense. And you hear a lot of people talk about faith and works. And even with faith, a lot of times people associate that with, I can't pray through, or I can't pray the prayer of faith. But faith is not only just seeing a prayer answered. You know what I'm saying? Just I'm reminded about when he told Thomas, he said, great is the faith of those that have not seen but still believe. Because Thomas is the one that said, hey, I know you're my friend or whatever, and you're telling me that Jesus is alive, but I'm not going to believe you. What? I'm your friend. I'm not going to believe you till I put my own finger in the nail prints of his hands. And then he sat there and told him, said, great is the faith of those that have not seen but still believe. So a lot of believers this morning, a lot of Christians this morning that I think are going through, because I hear it as a pastor some, people say, well, why can't I pray through? Why can't I have the faith to allow this to happen or that to happen? But see, yet that don't mean you don't have faith. I mean, to be honest with you, how many prayers have I prayed or prayed for somebody that probably wasn't answered the way that they wanted me to pray for them to be answered? You know what I'm saying? But still yet, in the middle of that, you got to find, all right, Lord, you have the final say. You have those things. But see, so our faith is so important, and we can't, like Brother Aaron said a while ago, we can't even please God without it. So, I mean, I know that people that says, well, I don't have faith. Well, I believe you do, because you believe in a God we have not seen, and you're living the way he wants you to live.
Yeah. So. And we're saved by faith, right?
Yeah.
By grace through faith. By faith through grace, right? Am I getting that backwards?
You're
saved
by
faith through grace. Or
By grace.
I've only taught this about 1,000 times in my life.
By grace are you saved through faith.
Yes. Thank you. All right. By grace through faith. That's it.
But they intertwine.
Yeah.
It's almost like they are very knitted together, brother.
But if your faith does not have works, your faith is not real.
Right.
That's what basically James is saying. Your faith is justified, not you. Like, I don't think he's actually saying that we're going, because we know that Isaiah tells us our righteousness is what? Filthy rags.
Right.
Like, we can't do anything worthy enough to deserve salvation. Like, that's really what it is. Like, Christ had to pay that cost because we had broken the law, and we're unable to justify ourselves with just by our works. Because if that was the case, then the blood of bullocks and goats and sheep and lamb and turtle doves and all these, that would have sufficed. But it wasn't. It only covered it. It could never eradicate it.
Amen.
But what did you say the greatest work is? Obedience to what?
You said, what would you say the greatest work is?
The works that it's talking about.
The works that it's talking about.
That proves your faith would be obedience, I think.
Yeah, I mean, if you love me, obey my commandments. But I think, you know, that would be... Well, I don't know if I want to do like a... I don't know. That's a good question.
So, Sister Hannah, do you think that this morning? No, that's fine. I mean, you know, but I see where you're coming from there. I really do.
Yeah, because I don't think that these works are only talking about, like, I don't think the only works it's talking about is, you know, acts of service and those types of things.
Right.
You know, any works being obeying, moving, doing what the Lord's telling you to do, which could be the, you know, acts of service and different things
that.
But just obedience must come from the faith, I think.
I got you. Because I believe the obedience of what, tapping on what Hannah just said here, the obedience of that, and she said the acts. Because a lot of people, if they don't obey what the Lord told us to do, if they don't come in, there's a lot of people that does acts of great service. But are you doing it as unto the Lord, or are you doing it just because it's the right thing to do?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if, you know, so... And you do it through faith. So I do it because the Lord has impressed for me to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sad sometimes, you know, you see people out in this world that are actually doing a great work in this world. They're helping people. They're doing the right things. They're loving. They're caring, you know, and they give out and they do all these things, but they have not surrendered their life to God.
Mm-hmm.
They have great works, but it's almost like they don't have the faith to believe that God is real. But still yet, all they need is Jesus in their life, and he'll be able to use them like never before. So.
Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of what
you
sets
got,
it apart.
You got Aaron really thinking this morning, I'm telling you. So,
well, I've never really thought of the hierarchy of works.
Okay.
That's what I was trying to unpack there a little bit. Like, I could definitely get behind the obedience to his word and obedience to the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit. Is it will lead us into works. I don't know. Like, I'm thinking about that, how I would unpack that theologically with, because I don't disagree with the premise. I've just never thought of the hierarchy.
But I believe that we are trying to, us that kind of know the word and understand it a little bit. I mean, I'm still trying to, but what I'm saying is this is different than somebody coming in and not really ever knowing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We know that that we are, as a child of God, going to have some works. I do believe that we will have works for him, mm-hmm. but the works that we do is not what gets us in to where he's at. It's the blood of Jesus that washes away sins. Yeah. It's his forgiving power that allows me to have access into his kingdom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's not my works, but I do believe on the flip side of that, if you're a child of God, you will have some works.
Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. there's only one scripture that's coming to my mind that I'm trying to process through, because I do think obedience is vital.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, there is, to me, though, I think having mercy and grace is also works on people.
Yeah.
Like, I would see that as still a work that's showing my faith.
I got you. Yes.
And Jesus did tell, like, here's the only reason I have a little bit of a, I don't know the hierarchy, because, like, Jesus is talking to Pharisees and Sadducees who were completely obeying the law, more than we could ever imagine obeying the law.
Yeah.
But he told them, you have neglected the weightier parts of the law. And you did not have mercy. And
well,
but then they wouldn't be obeying the whole law.
Well, they were obeying the law. They just was obeying it with a bad attitude.
Well, and he was showing them their problem there.
I mean, they were so obeying the law that they were tithing literally out of their salt.
Like, well, they were obeying the law, but they weren't obeying what they knew they needed to do.
No, they were obeying everything they did. Like, that's kind of what I think. That's
their
where
we behind it.
Well, like, no, like, here's where I'm kind of like, I think this is where we misinterpret the Pharisees and the Sadducees a lot. They were, according to the law, perfect. Like,
yeah.
their things they were neglecting was humility, mercy, grace. But none of them was really commanded by the law. Does that make sense? Like, it wasn't necessarily a command, be thou merciful. Like, it was what's produced in you with a new heart. Does that make sense? Like, Jesus kind of started to rebuke them a little bit and say, you're doing everything right, but you don't have the weightier parts.
Okay.
But it was possible because people operated in humility before them.
Oh, absolutely.
In the Old Testament.
Yeah, I mean, but your humility ones were people like that were walking with him. It's a like, I'm not saying that the law didn't talk about mercy and grace and all that.
Right,
but,
right.
But I think that here's the only reason I would say a little bit on that. Like, I think there's people who are walking in obedience to the word that's not in a relationship with Jesus.
I got you.
I just do. I think I think there's people that's living this word but don't know Jesus.
Wow. No, I mean, okay. I got
Does
you.
That make, I don't, I mean, like, I think there's people that, and I think this is what the Pharisees and the Sadducees are, they were living by the word of God, but they could not see the Son of God when he came.
Yeah.
So they were in obedience to the law, but they did not know him.
And didn't they want to do everything and everybody see what they done?
Absolutely, because it was all about the obedience to the law. Like, that's the only thing
but
I would.
They were obedient to the law, but they weren't obedient to Jesus' teachings. And now we have Jesus's teachings in the Word. So if somebody's living out Jesus's teachings, I don't see how they couldn't be living the Word. I mean, how they couldn't have a relationship with Jesus.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're looking at your rich young ruler. Everything Jesus told him to do, he was willing to do, besides one thing, and that's because his heart was wrong still.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not against the obedience.
No,
thing.
I got you.
That's, yeah. Like, the only thing I'm sitting there, like, for me, I'm just, like, if we're, this is the theologian in me right now, because this is, I get on people's nerves, because it's just stuff that would, that, like, the statement of obedience is major, is very much true. But to build a hierarchy is distinctives that could be misleading. Because now, like, for me, it took me a long time to say, I believe his greatest attribute is his holiness. I used to think it was his love. But if he wasn't holy, his love is not separate. Because holiness is kadesh, separate or different. So in all of his other attributes, his holiness shines because his love is different. His grace is different. There's nothing like it in all the world. That's right. What holiness means. So that's like, for me, that's my hang up is like, we could tell people obedience is the greatest work, but I don't want to say that obedience is greater than mercy. Cause I think mercy's a, cause
I just don't think you can have any of the other ones without obeying, if that makes sense. Like, I don't think you can have mercy without obeying what the Spirit's telling you to do. So I guess it's not really in this, it's like a, you have to be able to obey to do those things.
Because when James even talks about it, you can't even come unless the Spirit draws you.
Yes.
All right. So in order for you to be drawn, in order for you to be pulled and tugged, you got to obey.
You have to give in to it.
Go, you
have to surrender and give in to that Spirit that's leading you, the fruits of the Spirit. Because, I mean, we can choose to be disobedient and keep walking in the flesh, or we can choose to keep. And I think that's obedience. I think choosing the things of the Spirit instead of the things of our old man would be obedience. But
all right.
So I guess it would actually be separate than works.
Okay,
it would be like a, you have to be able to obey to be able to have these works.
Yep. Well, I believe there's many things that comes together to determine that, say, you can't just do one and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I believe not only obedience, but also, you know, and all these things that, you know, that come together to allow us to follow our Savior, Jesus. It ain't just obedience, but it's about doing all these other things as well. But I do believe that, you know, I see your point about the obedience part of it. I really do. I really do. So,
yeah.
I mean, and also, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I definitely agree with obedience. Like, there's nothing in me that says we shouldn't obey His Word.
Right.
But also, I don't know. Like, I don't think... Well, I mean, like, I'm trying to make sure I word this. I'm just processing through. This is the annoying theologian part of me that gets on people's nerves, because I'm not disagreeing with her whatsoever, because that's not it. Like, I agree with obedience.
Right.
Just to put it at the hierarchy, because honestly, for me, the greatest thing in my life is not obeying the Lord. The greatest thing in my life is knowing the Lord.
I got you.
And for me, the greatest pleasure of my life is to know Him and the power of His resurrection. Not negating obeying, because I think it's so important. But like, my wife is not the love of my life because she obeys me. My wife is the love of my life because she's part of me.
I think that's a little bit different, though, because that's not talking about works.
But
you're talking about knowing the Lord.
Yeah, but if we're going to make a statement of obeying Him is the most important work...
So would you say knowing Him is a work? Because I don't see how knowing Him is
well,
a work.
Well, it's pretty good this morning, I tell you.
Well, I mean,
it
like,
really is.
I think beholding Him in a place of prayer and fasting and worship can be considered works, in a sense, to an extent. I don't want to go too far with that. But to give, like, it's like we said before, you wake up and you put a log on the fire. I'm waking up, and I'm gonna choose this day. So there is an obedience factor there, but it's also like a choosing factor. I don't know. Like, I'm completely behind the obeying.
I just don't know about a hierarchy. I've never really put a hierarchy to the works. Like,
but I guess even that, I see that as obedience, because presenting your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable.
But then I kind of think of like Paul, though. Like, Paul was in such obedience to the law. He said, he basically said, I'm more perfect than all of y'all were. Like, I had it all together, but I threw all of that away because it's dung. And why did he do it? To know him and the power of his resurrection.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think God's pleased by our faith, and our faith is proven by our works. But I guess for me, there is a carefulness to this. Maybe this is why my carefulness. I think some people believe they'll be saved by their obedience. And I don't want us to fall into that either. Like, I don't know. Like, there's a lot to this. Like, especially like in the gospel, Christian liberty. Like, Christian liberty is not meaning that you have a right to sin. You can go get drunk. You can go cuss. You can go do whatever you want. God's just going to forgive you because it's grace sufficient. But also, we're not living under the law. And so there's a liberty and there's a freedom. And we're going to be judged by the law of liberty, according to Galatians. And I don't want to be, I guess for me, like, I don't want to be yoked back up with bondage.
Right.
Does that make sense? Like, I don't know how to word this, because I'm not against obedience. I just don't think my soul, I don't know. Like, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, y'all are hearing me unpack something on the go.
Yeah.
Because I'm very, like, I know it's annoying to some people. Like, I know it's annoying to some people, but distinctions are really important to theology.
We just weigh every thought, and we also weigh everything we get say, because when we say it, it's it, especially here on radio. You know what I'm saying? Us three hear each other, plus the ones that listen hear us, and then we may say something, to be honest with you. People say, oh, I liked what you said during your preaching before. And it's like, oh, what did I say?
Yeah.
And they tell me, like, did I say that? Yeah, you said it. Okay. I don't remember that part. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if it's a great thing, awesome, good, I'm glad. But if it's something like, why in the world did I say that? You know, so that's why we're trying to make sure what we say when people hear these words, that they'll know why we said that.
I'm going to keep processing through my head.
I know you are.
Because it's not the obedience I disagree with.
Yeah.
And it's not even the hierarchy I disagree. I just never thought of a hierarchy before. So, because there are some scriptures I'm trying to work through, because I do think it. I do think obedience is key, and Jesus did say, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Right.
In John 14, yeah. So I agree with all that, like, but then it's like, I don't know. Because, you know, James talks about, I don't know. We got to go to break.
We got to go to break.
We got to go to break.
I'm going to say, you can keep your tab on that same verse, all right, Hannah?
I had to wake up. I woke up early this morning, so my head's already kind of like, this is way too much. This is way too early to think about this deep. Why don't we should just move the broadcast to 11 if it's over.
Oh, man.
I'm more awake at
probably,
that point.
I know you probably could, but I don't know if I could be here.
All right, Josh, you can do 7 to 9. I'll do 11.
All right.
Well, let's do our first trivia question. My head hurts. Tuesday question number one. Who's a sponsor? Sicilian Bank. Thank you. Who did Jesus say the greatest among those who are born of woman? Who did Jesus say was the greatest among those who were born of woman? We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, we are back on this beautiful morning here on July 9th, 2024, and we are in obedience to
We are time. Still discussing. We discussed that whole time.
I don't want anybody to think I'm against obedience. I'm not at all. Like, I'm not against obedience. It's the hierarchy. It's the hierarchy.
I got you.
It's just the hierarchy. I don't know if I want to put it as...
Hey, y'all taught me that hierarchy and greatest are the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm changing it from a hierarchy to a prerequisite.
Like, I think obedience is a...
I'm changing it to a prerequisite.
Well, I think obedience is key in walking out good works. Like, it's a foundational thing, but to know him and the power of his resurrection is too. And, like, and it is like this for me. I mean, I would say this for me is, like, it's not that, like, I think we all love to obey. We all love him, so we want to obey what he's saying. Now, I don't want to obey him just because I'm scared of him. And I don't want to obey. I'm not obeying him just because if I don't, he's going to strike me with a lightning bolt from heaven. Jesus never said that. Jesus said, if you don't obey me, I hate you. Like, he actually said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so, like, in a relationship, why do you, if Ethan tells Hannah, will you please pick up me a new disc for disc golf at Academy when you go up to E-Town?
Okay.
All right. Is she doing that because she's scared if he gets she gets home, he's going to yell at her? Or does she said, okay, all right, cool. Yeah, I'll grab it for you. I'm already up here. Why? Yeah. Like, because she loves him, and she wants to – it's not because she feels suppressed or in bondage.
So in that specific moment, you just said, so it's not like she's obeying him. She's just loving him.
Well, she is obeying him because she loves him.
Okay.
And so, like, I guess for me, it's a – I don't know if it's a curse, a blessing, or what it is, but the way my brain works is, like – I see just this big picture of the whole church, of how they're doing it and what we're not doing and how things are called fall victim. And also I see the propensity in our theologies to go back to Hagar. Like, I mean, to Hagar. Like, we love Hagar more than we'll ever admit.
Come on.
And there is a pride and a self-righteousness that continues to breed in the church that thinks we're good enough. And I'm not saying Hannah thinks that at all. I don't think Hannah does.
I know, but
I know people do. So when they hear this thing about obedience is the greatest, yeah, because I am the greatest. Like, you know, and the more I obey him, the more Jesus. You can't make God love you any more than he does already.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can't do it.
Exactly.
He loves you more than you could ever imagine. His mm-hmm. love is unfathomable. His grace is sufficient. Like, all of these things, you can't make him love you more.
That's right.
He loves you. He loves you unconditionally, but I think a lot of times we're trying to earn it. So if we're saying obedience to get favor, I'm against that. If you're saying obedience because of favor, now we may have a conversation. And I know her heart. I know her. So, you know, I don't think she's saying that, but I can see where some people would hear that. So maybe that's why I'm just always on guard of stuff. Like, 'cause I want to destroy Hagar in the church.
Yeah.
Like, I want mm-hmm. Hagar to go away.
Right.
Like, completely, because Galatians says, I'm not going back to the law. I'm not going back to that. And Paul even said, I count it all. Basically, this is what Paul said. All of my obedience is dung.
Wow.
Because I give it up to know him and the power of his resurrection. Now, don't mishear what I just said. Don't say, Aaron just said you can sin and get away with it. No, Paul's saying everything that he had obeyed previously because he thought it was going to get him into heaven is nothing compared to the power of his resurrection.
Well, on that right there, I would say because he was obeying other things and not mm-hmm. obeying the things yeah. of Jesus.
But then mm-hmm. once the love got right, his yeah. love for the Lord, right. then the obedience flowed from that.
So is love true the greatest obedience. Or obedience?
Oh, my goodness.
You see how my brain works now?
I don't think it would be I think it would be a product of having a relationship with him.
But I don't think love would be the greatest either. Like, I think they're, this is where I really don't
know if those are works. Like,
so when somebody becomes a child of God, and just think back of when we experienced Jesus for the first time to come into our life.
Sure.
All right. Was we walking to him because we loved him or because we was obeying him?
Whenever we first got born again?
Yeah.
Well, honestly, I think most people don't even know what obedience is.
Know.
They feel the draw of the Holy Spirit, and they're coming in. Just like if I call you, Josh.
Yep.
Hey, Josh, you want to come? Yeah, sure. I want to come.
Yeah.
Like, I know I need you. Like, and he's wooing my heart. He's giving me a new thing. So, like, everything about me has changed in that
moment.
See,
you don't learn all that right then.
Yeah.
You just begin to realize that the Lord
is. You just naturally kind of do.
For whatever something, he's drawing you. And so you go to the altar because you finally seen that you are a sinner. Without him,
I would call that surrender.
Okay,
I think I would call. I mean, if you talk about that, like, I don't think it's so much as an obedience factor there. I think it's a surrendering. I'm surrendering to you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you my life.
Okay.
And if you give me my, you know, if I give him my life, he'll give me his.
Right.
And so, like, that's the beautiful part of this. I would call it surrender. And then obedience comes in discipleship. But I don't want to, like, for me.
I think it's still obedience. I do.
But for me, I don't.
And it's not, I don't think Hannah, when she just said that, I don't think she's meaning you didn't learn everything about obedience at all.
I don't think you realize you're doing it.
Right. But you still think it's walking in obedience when you get up. Yeah. No, I got you.
Because you could ignore it. You could just choose to ignore it and run the other way. You have a choice there.
So when somebody asks me to do something, like here, when somebody asks me to do something, even though I do it, I don't think of it necessarily being obedience, but I've done it. You asked me to do something, I've done it. So really,
obey me, Josh.
I'm obeying you.
Obey me.
Because you've asked me to do it. And I know that's kind of hard and kind of tough when you say, all right, you know, just say, hey, would you go do this job or whatever? Yes, I'll go do it. What am I doing? I'm obeying you. Even though really, I'm not going to sit here and say,
I obey him.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to do that, but really, it's a step of me obeying what it says.
I think there's just a negative connotation to obedience. But I don't think the actual definition of it, I think, is what we're talking
about.
But
now we're like equivalent to this. If I say, Josh, you want to come over for dinner tonight? No. He disobeyed me then.
That was an invitation. Oh, I got
you. So is salvation.
All right. Well.
But the Spirit is drawing you and leading you to do that.
Yeah, but they're not really so much.
I think it's also a different kind of obedience, you know, going toward what we obey with the Lord.
Versus a person
or whatever. And that's, you know, but, I mean, you got me thinking right there, brother. You really do.
Like, I don't know if, like.
It is an invitation, but it's also a commandment in the Word.
And you think that's a difference? That's a difference. You're inviting me. You're not commanding me.
The invitation to be born again for me would be an invitation. If it's a command, I don't know. Like, this is.
Hopefully we got a lot of people thinking this morning. They're either thinking or they've turned the radio off and it's just us three right now.
That's fine. It may just be us three talking this morning. That's fine. We'll figure this out.
Can somebody please let us know if you enjoy this or
I mean, for real, just say, hey, you know, got it or whatever.
So. Yeah. We did have a text that come in, though, of Miss Lisa. Isn't disobedience sin?
Yes.
Which that would be. It would be.
So. Yes.
We have one listener.
Gary Cox says there's four people. He's listening too. He's been texting me. I'm trying to keep
I've got two or three texts.
All right.
And one of them, and I got this number stored, but I know it's a number that I've seen before. It says, I don't think you could have true, in quotations, obedience without the Holy Spirit. Therefore, after you accept Christ, you could obey him. Mm-hmm. So that's what this listener said. Then somebody said, you and Hannah may as well just give up.
Both of us?
Oh, man. So no. So me and Hannah, they was telling me. They said Brother Aaron or whatever. So,
me and Josh?
They were saying me, Josh and Hannah. They said Josh and Hannah, and like I say.
I'll concede.
But no, I don't think it's about, you know, this one's right or that one's right, but we're trying to unpack what really, you know, it's all about here. And I see that perspective of what you're saying there about that, then, you know, so.
No, yeah. I do see that with the invitation.
Yeah, I mean, until that point right there, but that point right there really got me thinking.
I still feel like surrender is obedience to. I see it as like an obedience to the will of God, but I see what you're talking about when he's definitely not pushing or forcing anyone. It is an invitation. So it doesn't look like a normal obedience there. So I could see what you're saying on that.
Well, hallelujah. We'll move on before we have – while we have four listeners. All right, we're at six or seven at this point. All right, come on now. let's see here. Do you have your Kingdom Corner, Hannah, or what do you want to do here?
I've talked a lot through this.
You
I
have?
I mean, if Josh wants to go to his manna, yeah, we can do that and then get into some Bible questions.
All right. Do you want to do your morning manna?
Well, sure I do. You know it.
And then after the 8 o'clock break, we'll go into – a few Bible questions.
All right.
So that our listeners are still with us, will be with us still.
That's right. That's all right. They're there. They're there. They're just they're thinking
they're
out
listening.
Loud right now. That's right. They're listening. They're trying to grasp everything about it. All right. So here we go. Morning manna this Tuesday morning. We're going to Hosea 8, verse 3. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. Within the Old Testament of the Bible, we see many times when Israel or the Israelites are referred to as God's people. Then at times you see them going through rough time, and it's because of the poor decisions they have made and how they've forgotten about God. If we've forgotten that which is good, that's exactly what will happen to us. Each and every day we have a choice to do the things of God or cast off those things and be distracted by the pursuit of the enemy and the world. The enemy would like nothing less for you to focus on all the negativity that surrounds many of us, but I choose to hold fast to that which is good. If the result of you getting through a situation depended upon how much you held on to God, would it be enough to get you through it? So many are giving up to the cares of this life and allowing not only the enemy to pursue them, but also destroy them. Hold fast to that which is good, so in due season we will be able to defeat the wiles of the enemy. The reason many are in the situation they're in right now is because they have cast off to that which is good and put on a mindset of all those negative things above. Keep your eyes on Jesus and never allow the pursuit of the enemy to become your place of giving up. Press on, child of God, and know there is a cause for you to go forth in the name of Jesus. Be strong, stay strong, and we strong. I believe in the middle of this time right now, we see probably many people advancing, but we also see many people maybe shine away from it. Is it worth it? Why am I doing this or that? But I mean, we need to always hold fast to that which is good. Because of why? Because the enemy, if we don't do that, the enemy will pursue us. And we know the devil's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he will always devour those that will give him access to devour. And so also as God's child, we need to allow Jesus to have access to us so that he can pour in us the things that will be able to allow us to not focus on the pursuit of the enemy, but focus on the advancement of who he is. See, why do you think the enemy's pursuing you? Because he's pursuing you because you're advancing, you've done advance past him. All right, so when you become, like we was talking about earlier, when you become a child of God, you have advanced past the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
You've advanced past him. So from that moment on, he's trying to pursue his people, pursue God's people. You know what I'm saying? Because why? The enemy's done got the world. He's got the people that has not surrendered their life to Jesus, you know, and you're either for him or you're against him. You know, you're either for the Lord or you're against the Lord. So if you're not for him this morning, if you don't have Jesus in your life this morning, that means you've allowed the enemy to control you. You've allowed the enemy to have access to your life and more or less bring you to a place of where he's at. But once you get past that and allow the Lord to come to your life, no matter how young you are in Christ, old things pass away, behold, all things become new.
Amen.
So then from that moment on, the enemy tries to do what? He tries to pursue you, all right? That's why it says, you know, everybody, I've had this question before. So should we not ever look back? Well, I believe when it says forgetting those things that are behind us. Forgetting is something, yeah, we may look back to see where we've come from. You always got to do that. We've got a testimony, hey, where the Lord brought me from. but I'm not. That's not going to be my dwelling place. Mm-hmm. Lot's wife, when she looked back at Sodom, she turned into a pillar of salt. What that looking back there meant, she dwell on it, and that's really where she wanted to be. But I don't look back thinking that's where I want to be. I'm thinking, Lord, thank you so much for bringing me this far. But I believe so many people that are looking back right now because they see where they was, and it's like the pursuit of the enemy draws them back, tempting them into the things that they once loved. You know, I didn't even realize it, but Sunday night we was having service, of course, there to church, and talking about things in our life and talking about the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our body being a temple of the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Well, then some people come, or there's one particular gentleman that come up to the altar, and he said, all right, I'm done with this. He said, because I don't see how I can, you know, he's somebody that's growing in the Lord, but, you know, he wants the Lord to work in his life, and so therefore he said, I'm done with this because I don't believe that I can continue to be doing this and really be the temple of the Holy Ghost. You know, so he said, I'm done with it. So he laid it at the altar. He laid it at the altar, and it's still there, and he walked away. See, so many people, they lay things at the altar. And, I mean, maybe he was doing something, you know, to be honest with you, I'm just going to go and say it. It was a vape. He said, I don't see how I can be doing this and be the temple of the Holy Ghost. I said, if the Lord revealed that to you, we're going to pray for you. He said, no, I won't pray to be delivered from it right now. And so a lot of people think, I don't know about that, but I'm just telling you, everything that we do, whatever it is, it could be that, it could be something else, it could be my phone, it could be that, you know, whatever is between causing us not to represent Jesus, the enemy is pursuing us to make sure that he's trying to make sure to get us to fall. But if it's anything that's a stumbling block to us, lay it at the altar. That's exactly what I was preaching or whatever, talking about the temple and talk about if there's anything in our life we need to lay down, tonight's the night. And I believe for that brother there that Sunday night, tonight was that night. Amen. But I do remember a few years ago, we was there to church, and there was somebody to come and visit, and he'd come in every now and then. He would want prayer for a certain situation, and he would more or less put it there, but he wouldn't leave it there. He'd always pick it right back up when he went out the door. Of course, it's somebody we knew kind of, but they didn't come around very often at all. Just every now and then they come and pray. So I believe that if you really desire something from the Lord, you must put forth an effort to show him, to say, hey, you know, I desire you, and whatever I got to lay down, I'm going to lay it down. You see, and I believe that's when the enemy will understand that we are serious about knowing Jesus, and he may be pursuing us, he may be trying to get us to fall or whatever it is, but the thing about it is, I'm going to hold fast to that which is good, and his name is Jesus. You know, and I know that he's the only, you know, he's the good in my life, and because he's allowed me to, not worry about the pursuit of the enemy. Do I know it's there? Yes. Do we know it's there as men and women of God? Yes. But do we also know that we have power over that? You better believe it, because he's empowered us. I'm thankful that he's empowered me to do those things. So.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. But
that's good stuff. Kind of builds on what we were talking about yesterday with Jason and Miss Gretchen.
Yeah.
When it goes along with James.
Right.
I mean, about putting action to and moving, and how a lot of us have faith and we don't realize that, you know, when we make steps towards the Lord, or we show that effort that you were talking about. Because
right.
I do think, you know, sometimes we have a lot more faith, and we put action to that, and we don't even realize it.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
I got
but
you.
The Lord honors it when we do that.
Amen.
That's awesome testimony. Yeah. I love that.
All right. Tuesday question number two, sponsored by Higdon Land Surveying. What kind of animal did Samson kill with his bare hands? Brother Pastor Wayne Kidd got the first one right. Who did Jesus say was the greatest among those born of women? John the Baptist, Matthew 11:11. Tuesday question number two, what kind of animal did Samson kill with his bare hands? We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. Well, we're back here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. What a day on this January 9th, 2024. What a day the Lord has made. What a glorious day it is to be alive in the kingdom of our great Lord and Savior. You got kiddos. VBS is going on tonight at Kingdom First there in Caneyville, Kentucky. If you want to pre-register your kiddos for ours, of course, that'll be July 23rd, and you can get onto our app now and pre-register through the events page if that is the route you want to go.
Y'all going to have a big day at the end of it again, or how's that going to work this time?
We're not 100% sure on the. We are having a big day. We just don't. I don't know if the slides are coming back or not. Yeah. So, but we are going to have a big day. So we're figuring that out still.
Yep.
All righty. One listener popped in there. I don't think I have an answer for that trivia question yet. I was rocking at that song, so somebody called and I didn't hear it. I'm sorry. my little girl loves Ann Wilson. It's probably one of her favorite. But all of her concerts and stuff, they get sold out really quick.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get her to a concert one of these days. Awesome. But I mean,
I've heard they get sold out.
Yeah,
really
I don't think anybody sells faster than Ann Wilson. And so she just her concerts fly, and so it's hard to even get tickets for them a lot of times.
I know that's there's just something about the name of Jesus. That was a song that was playing yesterday afternoon when you had texted me or whatever. So.
Yeah.
Yep, I love that.
One listener popped in there and said, could you explain Hebrews 10:26? Yes, very familiar text there, Hebrews 10. I think you have to really go back up to 23, though, and look at contextually what's going on here. I'm going to read from the ESV. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is where, you know, do not neglect the assembling together. Like, do not forsake it. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. All right, so now some people teach this. Well, if you get born again, you sin, you're done. All right, like that's not right. Like that's not what this is saying. All right, now there is a lot of discussion around this deliberately sinning, or the King James uses the word willfully sinning, correct?
Right, yep.
All right, and so I interpret this passage of text a little bit different than other people. And I'm okay if other people don't. Like, it's okay. I'm not going to start an argument for an hour again. All right, I promise. All right, all the listeners, don't turn your channel. I was not trying to be difficult. But here, I see it as like this. Once you receive the truth and you continue to neglect the truth and you continue in a sinful lifestyle, not like in the sense of unrepentant, you're not born again, you know the truth, you have heard the gospel, you've rejected the gospel, what other salvation is there? Like, there is nothing. Like,
that's right.
There's no other way. Like, he is the only way. And if you reject him and you continue, because he said, for if we go on separately after receiving the knowledge of the truth. How's the King James word it, Josh?
After we receive the knowledge of the truth.
It says,
for if we sin willfully.
Yeah.
After that we have received the knowledge of the
after
truth.
After we've received the what? The knowledge. We have had the knowledge, and we continue to live opposite of the knowledge. What other hope is there? Like, you know, if we're not going to accept the invitation, if we're not going to be born again, if we're not going to become a disciple of Christ, yet we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no other way. That's how I interpret this. Like, you're going on deliberately sinning. You're willfully sinning. You realize you're in sin. You've been told you're in sin. You've been revealed to you've been in sin. And you're staying unrepentant. You're not walking as a disciple of Christ. You've rejected him.
Yeah.
And to me, that's how I interpret this text a little bit differently.
So could I say, like, for those that believe, like, once saved, always saved, could this be a verse of scripture you kind of bring up to them or not really?
I guess it would depend on how you interpret.
Classify the word.
Yeah. Is this talking to people? You would have to categorize it as, is this talking to people who are born again, who continue to live in deliberate sin?
Right.
I don't think, my personal opinion, no, and this coming from a person who believes you can't apostatize. I'm not once in grace,
right,
always in grace.
I know what you're saying.
Now, do I think personally? Do I think it's really difficult to do that? Yes, I don't think it's as easy as you say the D word. If you get in a car crash and you say the D word, I don't think you lost your salvation.
Right?
Should you do it? No. Is that exposing some stuff in your heart that you need to get right still? Absolutely. Like there's a lot of things, but I don't think you just lose your salvation and you have to get saved again. That's how I grew up, honestly, is that I got saved about every church service for about 3 years.
Okay.
I literally got saved every church service for 3 years because I didn't realize what the cross really did. And honestly, I was in that performance. I call it the he loves me, he loves me not. And I never knew he loved me.
Right.
And I never knew the full extent of what grace was and the empowerment. I don't think this, personally, I don't know if this is talking about believers or not. I think this is talking about people who's hurt. And still, but a lot of people do think it's talking about believers. So it's like, I think it's okay to either, I don't know how to.
Well, the heading for my Bible here, you know how right before certain verses, it'll give you like a title or something about the verses coming up or whatever. But right before verse 19, mm-hmm. My Bible here says the believer's access to God.
Yeah.
Is what mine says. So anyway, I guess thinking about the believers and those that have, you know, have faith and know that Jesus lives in their heart. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean.
It is talking about believers, like the verses before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean.
Do y'all have any, in your Bible, do you have any study notes for verse 26 or 27?
I would. I haven't looked at them.
Well, in this fancy Bible a great man of God gave me once upon a time, which is Brother Aaron, and I mean, I'm telling you, brother, I ain't been able to put it down since. I really haven't. I love it. But verse 26 and 27, this one here says, the key idea expressed in these verses is that there will be no restitution made for one who willfully rejects Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, you know, this one kind of says. That's but that willfully rejects, that means they're willfully doing it, not doing it just, you know, they know they're doing it.
So they would almost, that almost sounds like it agrees with those who reject the gospel.
Yep.
Now.
My notes talk about apostasy.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Now, can I say why I would defend myself within the midst of the context of brothers?
Yes.
In theology, we teach there's two churches. There's the real church and there's the universal church.
Okay.
There's going to, like, I'm just going to call how it is. I'm a straight shooter. There's certain Christian cults that we believe are cultish, but they call themselves Christian. They would include themselves in being Christ followers. So to them, they would be brothers. There's a wide spectrum of brothers and sisters that may really not be brothers and sisters, but we don't know if they're brothers or sisters. So if I go to your church or you come to this church, Josh, and you preach.
Right.
On a Sunday morning, 200 people, 250, how many is over here? Yeah. All right. You're going to look out there and you're going to say brothers and sisters because you're incorporating the body because they're in the body of Christ at that point.
I got you.
So they're going to be like brothers, sisters. If we continue on, you're basically, because they are universally within the church at that moment. They're going to be, if we say church, they're going to be included in at that moment because they are.
The natural.
They're in that physical church, that what we see.
Yeah.
But they may not be in the true church. And so here I think Paul's just, I'm not Paul. I think the writer of Hebrews here, Apollos. No, I'm just kidding. I think he's broadly spectrum. Like this, brothers, the church. Like if you are still willfully, deliberately rejecting Christ, you should be fearful because you've heard the gospel. You've heard the knowledge. You've received the knowledge of the truth. They did not say actually, he's rebuking them for their non-response in reality. Like kind of like what your Bible's saying. Like it's the willful rejection of the knowledge of the truth that they received.
Yeah.
That's how I would see this portion of the text.
Right.
But that's because I do understand the context is written to believers or the brethren. Or the church.
Yeah.
Do not forsake your assembly. Like all these things, if you go all the way back up to 19. But I think the writer here is just broadly throwing it out there. That, you know, if you've rejected, what other hope is there?
Yeah.
It's kind of hard, though, because it says we.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say it's throwing it out there, you think for whoever is going through this situation, or just for the brothers and sisters in the Lord, or for everybody in general.
Well, the author, I mean, if he's saying we, he's including himself in it.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, but I guess for me as a preacher, that don't change my mind a lot.
Yeah.
Because 90% of the time, if I say something like, we've got to repent, I may not be doing it, but it's a, if there's something in there, we've got to do it. Because
yeah.
The warning isn't just for those I'm talking to. The warning's also for me.
Right.
So even the writer of Hebrews here is, I think he's including himself in that warning.
Yeah.
So you think he's warning everybody, but he's specifically addressing...
Yeah, Rick Carwell said it is Paul. I think he's given the broad warning.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know which one of y'all asked, is this for everybody or just the church? I think this warning the writer's given here is only for those who have heard the gospel.
Okay.
If you now, I do think there's judgment for those who've still not heard the gospel. Don't get me wrong.
No, I think I was the one that asked that yeah. question. The reason I asked that question is because the heading of mine was believers' access to God. So it's those that have known.
Yeah.
It's those that do know.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something that even when I preach a lot of times, I'll say, these things we know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a brother up at the church. He said, well, he said, and he's a faithful brother there. Just he gives me good insight. And he said, you know, he said, listen, you're right. We do know. But there's some of his brother Josh that's here that may not know.
Mm-hmm.
So we should know these things. But you don't need, just like you were talking about a while ago, I was reminded how when we address a congregation, like I may say brothers or sisters, but still yet probably not everybody in there, to be honest with you, is a brother in the Lord or sister in the Lord because mm-hmm. they haven't made that commitment.
Yeah.
So that kind of, when you said that, that brought back my remembrance about what this brother tells me when I say certain things.
Yeah.
This stuff we need to know. Stuff we should know. We may not know it, he says, because a lot of people don't. But we should know.
And sometimes people just call people brother or sister.
There you go.
Just because I think it's a habit of church folk
yeah.
to call people yeah. brother yeah. this, sister that.
And I think I've done that before, like leaving a job or something. You know what I'm saying? And not even really knowing them. All right, thanks, brother.
Yeah.
Well, what am I saying?
Yeah. Now, I mean, and again, this isn't giving Christians to continue in willful sin or anything.
Right,
and,
right.
And I'm just trying to be, I've interpreted Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 10 a little bit different than, me and Brother Ron had this dialogue several times
yeah.
on the air together. Now, some people will interpret this way because they are trying to prove once in grace, always in grace. But again, once in grace, always in grace is a really new doctrine. Like it was 1900s when that was built, that ideology, because that is not what John Calvin taught, just for those who don't know. And again, I understand Calvin did some things wrong, and not everything that Calvin wrote I agreed with. But I still think his Institutes of Christian Religion is a phenomenal work of historic Christianity, and I think that honestly there's probably not a theologian outside of Paul that probably had more influence in the church, and we don't even realize it. And right. I mean, like, because even Joseph Arminius was a disciple of John Calvin, like,
yeah.
And pretty much you got Arminianism, Calvinism, the two predominant camps. I'm not in either. I'm just gonna go to the Bible, but I do think he's prolific in his writing. He didn't teach the once in grace, always in grace, but people interpret Hebrews 10 and Hebrews 6 based upon their camp.
Right.
So if I'm in the camp of Arminianism, I got to teach it like this. And if I'm in the camp of Calvinists, I got to teach it like this. And I think both are wrong. Like, I actually do think there's issues with both camps.
Yeah.
There's theological issues. There's text that's misused. There's misapplication of the text. And that's why we can't chase a man's theology. We got to chase God's theology. And he's laid it out in the Word. And the Bible should be the theology we build ourselves, not Calvinism.
Right.
Or not Arminianism. Neither one's healthy, because I think both of them lead you astray in certain areas.
Yeah.
On both of their 5-point plans. But for me, I do see Hebrews 26 and 27 as a warning to the church, just like I do in Hebrews chapter 6, those who have partook, those who have been enlightened, those who have basically, for me, participated in the blessings of the church.
Yeah.
But they've never surrendered to the one they're going to church, you know, supposedly worshiping. And I think that's very dangerous.
Yeah.
Because it, one thing that I think if I come to your house, we're going to each other's houses a lot today.
That's all right.
And I eat of your food.
Yeah.
I partook of your food, but I never took possession of your food. Because unless I take the food home,
yeah,
then it's not with me. Wow. It's still yours. And I think so often we come and partake of Jesus's blessings within the church, but we never take him home because we don't have possession.
That's a good point.
And sooner or later, that's going to catch up.
I like it.
And I think there's a big difference between partaking and possessing.
Wow.
And yeah. And so.
No, I mean, totally, totally difference.
Yep. Because we've all probably, I remember in my younger days.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I knew I wasn't living exactly right, or I may be in a backslidden season or something like that, and I'd go to church, and you'd feel the goosebumps.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And you're like, oh, okay, I'm not going to hell. All right, I feel them. Like, that was kind of it. But then you realize who you're sitting next to, yeah, and it could have just been their anointing rubbing off on you. Like, you know, like, and I'm being honest about that. Like, there's people I've been around,
yeah,
where the anointing of God is rolling off of them. And whether I'm walking perfectly with them or not, like, you can sense the glory of God in their life. And I think sometimes we live off of other people's anointing, and we live off of other people's glory and other people's walking, the like other people's presence,
yeah,
of God on them. And we think we're okay because, well, I'm just being honest. Like, I know it. Like, I know it for a fact that it's happened. And we live off of other people instead of having one ourselves. And
come
so,
on now.
No, so, like, we'll just let Josh pray. We're going to let Josh pray, and we're going to let Josh fast, and we're going to let Josh do all the work, and then when we come in Sunday morning, we're going to reap from Josh's relationship with Jesus so we can feel really good and then go home and then expect Josh to bring it back next week.
Yeah.
And that was not how the church was. Everybody's supposed to come.
That's right.
Ready.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I mean, even you talk about everybody coming and, you know, doing what we were supposed to do in the kingdom, you know, I'm reminded also about how some people say, well, you know, you try to preach and teach and try to get people to respond. You know what I'm saying? But it ain't about what I say. It's about what he does, about what Jesus does. So if mm-hmm. Jesus is not pulling somebody to do something, then I don't want him doing it. It's like, Brother Aaron, you've probably done this before. You've probably made a statement in church saying, hey, listen, I'm going to make this statement. And if it hits you, if the Lord deals with you here, I want you to respond. But if you're only responding because I say, then I'd rather you not respond. You know, just like I put out a decree at church. I said, look, I encourage you guys that if you don't normally come to prayer meeting on Tuesday nights, we have prayer meeting tonight. If you don't normally come to prayer meeting on Tuesday nights, I challenge you to come once every 2 months. That's every 8 weeks, 8 or 9 weeks, one time, 6 to 7 o'clock. Challenge you to do that. All right. Then I said, but for you guys that only come here on Sunday mornings, I challenge you to come to one other service throughout 1 month, just one. And so I said, but if you're just doing it because I asked you to do it, I said, don't do it. I said, but if you've thought about, well, I should or should not do this, then I said, then I want you to do it. Because, listen, I don't want people just to do something because I told them to. Mm-hmm. I want people to do it because they feel as if the Lord. Yeah, I do know as a pastor and as a leader, you're there to lead and you're there to guide and you're there to direct. I understand that aspect of it. But then again, everything that I do, I want to do is unto the Lord, even as a pastor. That's why I feel as if when I have an altar call or prayer service there at church, I feel as if I need to be on the one, the altar, just as anybody else does. Crying out for what? What have you done wrong? It's nothing as a whole. I feel like as a whole, the church is missing out on every opportunity that the Lord wants to bless us. And for that reason, I'm there crying out for all of our needs, not just, you know, saying, you know, but that's what we have thought that the altar for years, and it is, for people to come and to repent and people to, you know, what have they done wrong? Don't worry about what they've done wrong. But that's everywhere for us to go and be and pray and do those things that he's called us to do. I want to be in his presence all the time. And if that means falling down the altar at church, falling down the altar in my truck, falling down the altar at home, wherever that is, wherever my place of prayer is, that's where the altar's at.
Mm-hmm. So we only got a few minutes here. So, Hannah, could you read me your notes on 26? I'm curious what they say. I like to read on this verse because it is hard. I mean, and I could be wrong about it. Like, I'm very honest.
No, I mean,
this is a very subjective type interpretation on 26.
But just because we read it, that don't mean they're right too.
Yeah,
their opinion.
I just want to hear what it says.
So, I got you.
Okay. The surrounding verses contain. Oh, I'll start. Let's see. Okay, these verses warn of the critical danger of turning from Christ's once-for-all perfect sacrifice back to their old ways. If we sin willfully, reveals that this act is deliberate. It parallels the sin of Numbers 15, verse 30, when one willingly or defiantly disobeyed God, there was no sacrifice for such apostasy. He had to die.
Well, so like, but I mean, like, in that, not because I'm just,
there's more, but
yeah. So like, if Josh, have you ever sinned and knew you're sinning?
Have I ever?
Since you've been born again, have you sinned and known you're sinning?
Yes.
And you did it anyways?
Yes.
So is that deliberate, willful sin?
Yeah.
So are you saved by your works and you kept by your works or what? Like, this is where I'm trying to unpack it.
No, I got you.
Because that's, I think we've all done that.
Yeah.
And if it's that case, then we're probably all going to.
Wow.
So that's where I have difficulty interpreting this passage like that, because that would contradict other parts of the scripture too, because I'm not saved by my works. And I think all believers have probably deliberately, willfully sinned after they've been born again.
Well, this is turning from Christ back to your old ways.
So would it be like a 1 Timothy 4,
like a
1 Timothy 4, like
completely turning,
leaving the faith?
Yeah, because it says apostasy. Yeah.
Does that make sense what I'm saying here? I'm not trying to argue. I'm just
I mean,
I'm just thinking practically here. Like, if,
and I believe you can honestly probably ask just about everybody that question you just asked me, and they'd be like, yeah.
So, oh yeah, I mean,
right.
I mean, I don't think these notes are talking about sin in general. I mean, because it says turn back to your old ways.
So they rejected Christ.
Is what it sounds like to me.
See, that's where I feel like. Now, I could get behind the idea of, like, it's people who received the knowledge of the truth, walked in it for a little while, and then rejected it. I could get behind that probably a little bit more than I could. Just like, I've heard some pastors say stuff like, if you have an addiction or you're in a stronghold, you better quit, because that's willful, deliberate sin, and you're going to go to hell. Like, I don't think so. Like, I've seen believers who fall seasons.
But if you're still walking with the Lord,
yeah,
that's the difference.
Yeah,
this says apostasy here, so it's saying like you received the truth, but you're turning back. You're turning away from that.
But it doesn't say receive the truth. It says receive the knowledge of the truth. I received knowing. But did I do something with the knowledge?
Yeah.
Knowledge of the truth.
Like this. A good example. I know that my diet is awful. I know that green food is healthy for me, and I know that fast food is tremendously unhealthy for me.
Yeah.
I have the knowledge of the truth, but I've never actually responded to the truth.
Right.
Does that make sense? Like,
no, it does.
I think sometimes we know that we need to be born again, but we never been born again.
Well, I think there's a difference when you know something, and then also when you just need to have the wisdom, mm-hmm, and the knowledge that you do know, to use wisdom to do those things.
Yeah.
Because, mm-hmm, I remember a time in my life when I was praying, Lord, give me more knowledge, give me more knowledge, give me more knowledge. It's like all of a sudden one time, for whatever reason, I changed my prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need knowledge. I know, you know, if I just use what I know, which ain't a whole lot, but just use what I know and have the wisdom to use what I do know, then all right, then let's build from there. But yeah, if I'm not going to use wisdom to use what I know, then why in the world would I ask the Lord to give me more knowledge?
Yeah.
If I'm not going to use already what I know.
Yeah. So. Brother Rick says, amen, green food is good.
That's right. Amen, Brother Rick.
I have not received that knowledge yet.
Well, we're still praying for you, brother.
Yeah. So did you say there's more to that?
There is, but it's kind of long.
Oh, okay. Huh. I wonder if there's any good comment. Anybody have any good commentaries on this passage that we could read? I'm interested. I mean, I could very well be wrong about it.
Don't Sister Gretchen or Brother Jason, don't they normally have John Wesley's commentary or something with them?
On their computers. On their handy-dandy notebook computer.
Yep.
So, all right, well, I guess...
It goes on, though, in those other verses to get pretty intense. Trampled underfoot the Son of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And profaned the blood of the covenant.
Yeah. I mean, it is an intense passage of Scripture. You got something, Josh?
No.
All right. All right. Well, I guess we need to go to break, and then we'll get Pastor Chris in here with us. So we didn't have our second trivia yet. Okay. We don't have an answer. What kind of animal did Samson kill with his bare hands? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break. All right, we are back here on this beautiful, beautiful morning. We are booking right along. We got Pastor Chris in the house. He is the preacher behind Harvest Time Hour on Sunday afternoons at 2 o'clock p.m. Excited to have him in the studio. So, Pastor Josh, you and Pastor Chris ready to take off?
We're ready to take off. And also, Sister Hannah got him on this time, I think, right?
Oh, Miss Hannah did. Okay.
Yeah, Miss Hannah.
It's usually you, Josh.
Hey, here's what happened. She said,
You lost his number.
Hey. Well,
Pastor Chris, I'm sorry he threw your number away.
Oh, my Lord.
It turned
Hannah asked me here a while back, said, hey, give me some of those numbers of those people that you've had on before. So I did, and she's got them rolling in, so that's awesome. So good to have you, Brother Chris.
It's good to be here.
Amen. So go ahead and just tell people again, maybe we got a few more listeners, about where you pastor, Brother Chris, and also where it's located. So
We pastor New Light Visions over in Eastview, Kentucky. Used to be the Westland Church years ago. It was a Pilgrim Holiness Church, but God opened doors, blessed us with that place, and we have, of course, every Sunday morning, Wednesday night, and a couple, second and fourth Sunday night.
Yeah.
All Eastern times.
Right, right. So now we just, we're thankful to have you here. And I know that in the last 6 or 8 weeks, probably the last couple of months, brother, I know you've been preaching many revivals and going different places. And I think even with y'all's worship team there, y'all go and play and sing. So just talk about the last couple of months, really, about what the Lord's been doing in y'all's lives there.
Well, we've been, like I said, feel like we've been all over the country, but we've been in a few counties, revivals, working with different ministers out of Glasgow and local ministries and whatnot. Been in different denominational churches, tent revivals, and then when we ain't reviving, the wife, and she's in a group called God's Plan there. They're singing pretty regular on Saturday nights, but it's just God's a blessing. And he's opening doors in his revivals, be honest with you. You know, God laid on my heart last year, and I believe a person, what they believe, they need to stand for it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Jesus said, I build my church upon the rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And, you know, we did a little revival over at Black Lake Church, and God told me last year, I told the church, I said, they might turn me away, but I'm going to preach the full gospel wherever
right.
I go. You know, I mean, I believe it's necessary in the last days that we're in, you know, because we're seeing a church that's coming alive like the phoenix.
Yeah.
But we also see people that's just sitting around dead in their church.
Yeah.
You know, and we started out in a little Baptist church, and they didn't know how to take us when we started off. But at the end of the week, they loved us. And we had a camp meeting just a few weeks ago over yonder. We had people receive that of the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Had two girls between the age of 13 and 17 that was raised in the Catholic Church, got born again over yonder. And we've been seeing chains break. And once I said it last time I was here, we're seeing people from denominations uniting under the body of Christ.
Right. I know, actually, Pastor Chris, you know, of course, on my list of pastors that I try to pray for every day, you know, there's certain ones that I pray for that are like 15 or 20. Churches that I call out, it's just people that I've been connected with in the last several years. And Brother Chris, I try to do that every morning that we do, because I mean, it's just something that when I see the intensity of Brother Chris when he preaches and when the Lord uses him, he's got a powerful testimony. It's just amazing. So I mean, within where you've been, Brother Chris, is like there's something that each one is different. The Lord allows you to preach different, or is there something that he's got you on a mission to do, or you need to go do this, or like, I mean, what kind of mission behind what you preach and teach, or is it sometimes just different every time?
Well, I mean, of course, the main mission, as he told them, you know, repent. You know, we want to see people born again. But I don't know. I don't even know the word for it. I mean, you come up with all these different, and nowadays people's revivalist and all these things. I don't know what it is, but I've got a. I try to bring what God's given me. Lord, show them what you showed me. I've got a desire. I mean, me and the wife went down to White Ridge. I don't know if y'all know what's at in Butler County. If I hear of a revival, I go.
Yeah.
And if it's got far in it, we go back. But if God calls me to go.
Yeah.
You know, I want to take far with me, you know.
Right.
And that's what I tell them. You know, I heard Brother Richie Carman one night preach, and he got to dancing a little bit, and he said, it's my salvation, I'm going to joy in it. And that's what I want to take to everybody. I mean, there's, you know, as a preacher, pastor, evangelist, all these things, you look back, you see some people with smiles, and you see some people like, you know, the deer in the headlights.
Yeah.
And you know, anywhere you go that's excitement, whether it's vacation, whether it's a roller coaster ride, you enjoy yourself.
Right.
And that's where we ought to be, in the house of the Lord. I know there's bad times, but boy, if God has redeemed us.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to bring to them. And ain't sitting there pouting, hoping, well, I hope they get done at 12 o'clock. It ought to be a place that we come to, boy, I hope it don't end.
Just yeah, like come
a,
on now.
Just like a theme park or your vacation. You don't want this thing to end. And,
yeah.
And the Bible teaches me that it's glory unspeakable.
That's right.
And I know some of them say, well, I'll shout when I get over yonder. I'm shouting on the way down.
That's
here,
right.
Enjoying
That's
my
right.
ride. And when I get in the valley,
yeah.
You know, that right there is what helped. And I tell the church all the time, I said, when I come in on fire and the days that I ain't, hopefully you got it and ignite me.
Come on now. That's good. No, I mean, and I know that this is true too, because I mean, when I see Brother Chris, you know, in other places as well, then also the fire of God in his life, I mean, he lives it. He lives it. So, I mean, it ain't just, you know, ain't just blowing smoke, but it's somebody that I know that lives it. So, I mean, I'm just excited, like, for what the Lord's doing and in the church where he's at, and also where he goes. I mean, he goes and visits and different things. So, I mean, but, I mean, we're just so, we know that the Lord's got great things in store for his people, because I know that maybe Brother Chris and probably myself feels as if maybe that we've let the Lord down in the past, and from here on out, guess what? No more let down. No more let down, because we're going to build up the body of Christ. You know, so what all else been on your heart, Brother Chris? We just want to open the next 15, 20 minutes to just, you know, pour into people that's listening right now. I mean, maybe there may be some listening that hasn't really heard you, even though you got the broadcast here on Sunday afternoons, you know, and do have a broadcast here. It's at 2 o'clock our time?
Yeah, 2 o'clock.
So, yeah, because I know where Brother Chris is at. They're going, they're on fast time. They're a little bit faster than we are up there. So. Yeah, that's about like people saying God's country. Come over to God's country. We'll show you everything it's about, right?
Yeah.
So, but no, go ahead and just have your liberty to speak or say anything you'd like to say this morning.
Well, I don't, you know, God uses us if we allow him to, And like I said, he's opening doors, and we don't know who we're going to touch. And I heard y'all earlier, you know, about the obedience, you know, working for the Lord and being obedient to the Lord. I mean, you know, in Matthew 28, he said, go teach the gospel to all nations. And I believe, you know, that's part of being obedient. We got a choice to go or sit on it. And that's what, you know, that's why I go, I guess. That's that desire, you know, I want to be a, because it ain't nothing about me. I like going. I like coming to Magic when the glory's falling there. I like, you know, ain't been to Bethel a whole lot, but that ain't about me. You know,
right.
Like I said, I like to see good things at our church. I like to hear good reports. But, you know, we did a funeral a few weeks ago, and if the lady had walked right by us right now, I'd never know her, but she come to two tent meetings several years ago, and she told somebody, she said, I want him to preach my funeral. And she was from the missionary Baptist background, the hardcore ones that's against what I believe, so to speak, and I'm not here to split hairs with nobody, but she wanted me, and I told him in the funeral, I actually preached in one of their churches, and I said, you don't know who you impacted, whether it's good or bad, and I said, I thank God that I impacted doing the right thing and being obedient, you know,
right.
and throwing, you know, them old tents, they get hot.
Yeah,
you know, I've sweated in the radio stations, but you know, I don't know. Just the desire. I mean, I can't get away from that. I want that, you know, to see people, you know, because every church is, I don't care how high the mountain you're on, you still got people in churches at the bottom of the valley.
That's right.
And I'm, you know, trying to help them get up, you know, I mean, you know, and take it, you know. And God opens these doors. It amazes me, the doors that he's opening. We got people from different backgrounds coming to our church and been going around supporting us and stuff. And there's one of them, he's a deacon in the church, and he's come out of some things. He stood the other night, and he said, you know, I didn't even, and I know this probably caused controversy, well, I didn't even believe in women having a part in church. He said, I think it's real now.
Wow.
And see, that's what God will do. The gospel will change you.
Yeah.
And you know, that's where we want to get. People don't, you know, that book is either the bread of life, the word of life to you, or just words.
Come on.
And that's, I guess that's mine and yours and Brother Iron and all these. That's our job, to present this thing and bring it to life to people.
Right.
And of course, I know it takes the Holy Ghost to do this, but I mean, boy, I tell you what, I used to, everybody's got them things that's in the Bible, you know, I mean, you can get them places if you're down, read this scripture.
Yeah.
You know, anxiety and stuff, and you used to have to look at this. How's that help? But it helps.
Wow.
It helps.
That's
when you,
awesome.
Especially when you get in and, you know, try to, you know, ask God to, you know, the Holy Ghost to send you a revelation on it and get to digging in there and reading the background, the history of this stuff, you know?
Yeah. Because I know that we've talked many times before, and that's something that actually Brother Chris brings up stuff about history and everything. It's like, I ain't never looked that up before or whatever, but he's on it. He's on it, and I appreciate that, you know, taking the time to understand where, all right, why is this like it is now, and just looking back on those things. So, I mean, that means a lot, and just to understand, trying to get a full understanding of the full gospel of God about everything. Don't line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. But just understanding those things. Now, when you prepare for a tent meeting and Lord prepared you for a tent meeting or a revival or different things like that, is it seem like it's a same type preparation, or is it just whatever you feel as if the Lord would you? I know you're led by the Lord.
Yeah.
I know you're led by the Lord. But going into it, like those tents that you go to, do you set them up, or does other people set them up, then you just go to them?
I set ones we do, I set up, you know, God's blessed me with the tent and everything. And,
yeah.
And of course, he sends, you know, as far as the message now under a tent, because you're in the community, you come in no name, so to speak, you know. And of course, most of the past, you know, I didn't pastor it one time, you know, and of course, evangelize. But of course, that's a repentant message you always want to preach, because, you know, you got people coming to it. But it's, you know, it's a different atmosphere, you know, than in the in the church setting, so to speak. And like I said, you ain't got the acoustics in the tent by no means and stuff, you know, but getting in the place and trying to get out and work the areas and stuff to get people to come in, because you don't, you know, I mean, we've been blessed. You know, of course, we've done them in the surrounding counties, but God has blessed us, you know, and people showed up. And, you know, it's... But it's weird, though. You'll get community to come to tent revivals, and it's hard to get churches to support them.
Wow.
You know, and I mean, and you want support from the, because if you go somewhere, I ain't going over there, especially, you know, being a pastor, people's gonna look, I ain't going over there to bring you New Light Vision.
Yeah.
I'm going over, you know, if we come to Madrid, you know, so to speak, this area, people get saved. Now you got two churches right here real close you can go to, you know.
Right.
We ain't coming here for New Light Vision. You know?
Right.
And, but anyways, that's what you got to prepare for. You know, I know there's some people, they want to get out and was it proselyte, whatever they call
it, you
know, but people saved.
No, I mean, and that's our heart behind it, because I know you always talk about, or people sometimes say, well, where should I go to church? They say, look, there's plenty of churches around this area that preaches truth. Am I going to tell you to go to any church of your choice? I'm sorry, but I'm not, because there's some that, you know, that say it's okay to do this, it's okay to do that. But if it's a church that preaches truth and preaches the full counsel of God, then I'm going to encourage you to go there. You know what I'm saying? So I'm thankful that when you're able to do that, that hopefully, you know, get people like that. Because I know that we was part of a tent revival here a while back. Of course, I've been to a few here and there, but not like I was the last few weeks ago, you know, over there in Litchfield, and, you know, with the brother or whatever. So it is a different type of atmosphere, but understanding it's all open, all the music going out over the speakers, and the preaching is going out over the speakers as people pass by. So how I often pray at our church as well, Brother Chris, sometimes is for anybody that passes by our church. I hope that and pray that that we have created a place where God to come and settle in, so His presence is around us, so that we people just pass by, that His anointing would touch them. You know, and I mean, so that's just our cry and our prayer right now to try to do that, because I know there's so much more that even me as a man of God needs to be doing for Jesus, and so just understanding that.
And some of the doors, you know, open, and I know me and you and Billy's talked and stuff, and sometimes, you know, this is one thing I take to wherever I go. I don't, you know, our church will tell you, but I throw every denomination under the bus. I really do. And we went to end up doing a revival there, but got invited to a little community Baptist church in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I got over there, and God gave me a message on preaching on church doctrine and things. And I said, church doctrine's fine if it lines up with that. But I said, we got a lot of churches that, you know, they stop because they said, well, our church doctrine don't preach this. But I told them, I said, you know, how many of you, if you want to label this thing, you know, I walk in the Pentecostal realm of it, which is just a label. But I said, now most of you probably wouldn't want to come tonight because we're in a Baptist church and this, that, and other. But I said, when you hear Pentecostal, you know, we had a neighbor over there. Are you one of them churches that get in the floor and slobber and all this stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, they got that in their mind. Right. I said, but you need to know what people believe. I said, I believe you must be born again.
Yeah.
I believe the Father must draw you, what the Bible says. I believe you must repent of your sins. You know, and I began to elaborate, and I said, and I believe we must live right. And I said, now, am I any different than you? I said, you know, we put that name up here, and of course I teach our church. I said, hey, you know, it's because you got a Presbyterian or Baptist name. I said, if they've been born again and believe this repentant way, I said, you know, that's what God wants, because people has got a picture. It's like that neighbor said, well, are you getting the floor and slobber? Now, we get in the floor sometimes. God takes us out, you know, but it's scripture. You know, and just like when people come in our church, I know they're new, and man, the Holy Ghost gets moving. I'll be real quick to jump up in between songs or something and read scripture. Hey, if you don't understand this, you know, anointing with cloths. That's common to me. It's common to you guys. But these people to look at you, what's this?
Yeah.
You know, so it shows you they're getting the word. So I go over there and say, well, anybody don't understand what's taking place here? You know, I open up James chapter 5, verse 13. Said to be in money you sick. But, you know, we had a guy come in one Sunday. He'd been telling me for years he's going to come hear me preach. Come in one Sunday, and so happened, I'll never forget that morning, somebody said, I need to be prayed with oil, and we started anointing with oil. I looked up, and out the back door he went, and didn't get a chance, you know, and that's when I go places, you know, God opens them doors where I'll just throw them out there, you know, and try to help people, you know, that way, you know, like, you know, you and Billy's talk, you know, people sometimes major Pentecostal, so they don't got this idea.
The mindset, yeah.
And they don't realize there's people in there trying to lead them to Jesus, trying to lead them to deliverance, trying to lead them to hit. They think, well, they're over there speaking in tongues and doing all this. This funeral I done in the little Baptist church, first thing they come up to me at the funeral home said, I don't want no speaking in tongues down there. And I thought, is that the only thing on your mind? I'm coming to help to preach, you know. And,
right.
And like I said, there was a guy there, boy, you could tell he's lost. He was soaking it up, you know, but people get this mindset. So God has showed me to take, you know, this is the gospel.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I mean, you know, you talk about different things, about people believe this, people that take this scripture, whatever. But if I'm invited to go somewhere, unless it better be the Lord getting a hold of me to do this or that, because I'm going to go to just preach word.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Not to do anything that's going to try to uplift a denomination or our church, but just to uplift Jesus. And I mean, I think that's very vital, very key on it. So,
yeah, you can.
Anyway.
You can have, I mean, however many different, if you following God, you go right in there and not compromise and preach the word of God and walk out and be loved and love them.
So, yeah, that's exactly right. Amen. So, I mean, now, like when the Lord, you've been pastoring how long, Brother Chris?
Well, I pastored 13 months at one church and evangelizing, I think, 5 years now at New Life Vision.
So, wow, 5 years. So that quick, man, it just I often tell Aaron, I said, if there's anybody that has told me as an adult one thing that's right, it's that when you get older, it seems like time keeps going by faster. So that's why we feel as if we have a window here that where we've got to, because we're not promised another day. But while we're here, we got to promote Jesus, and we got to tell people about who he is to make sure that it don't stop with us. You know, a lot of times I tell them there at the church, I said, listen, don't allow this word to stop with you. You got people behind you, and you got people for you, and therefore you need to make sure that it don't stop here, because that's what a lot of times has happened in the past. People has allowed it to stop at them. And then, you know, through generation, then it takes so long for that generation to come back to where it needs to be. And so I'm praying for the United States of America, our region, our nation right now, that, you know, that'll begin to have a people more committed on fire for him, that we can pray like never before, and we can seek him like never before, and see results like never before. So you got anything else, Brother Chris? We got a few more minutes here. Well, Hannah, y'all got a question? Got anything you like to say or do? I know. I mean, Chris
I'm just
is
soaking it in here.
Yeah,
I'm just listening. But I do have a good story about the Pentecostal thing.
That's all right.
Can I tell you?
Yes.
Remember this story, Josh?
I probably will.
Well, there was a couple walking into our school one night on a Sunday night right before we're playing basketball.
Yeah.
And they thought we had Sunday night service, and we wasn't having it at that time. And I said, but I know a good preacher down the road. His name is Josh Milburn, and he's having service tonight. You should go down there. And I said, Madger Pentecostal, and said, oh, we don't get around that Pentecostal. They're weirdos. And I said, if they're weird, what are we? Because you come into our sanctuary, we got horns, we got banners, we got...
Yeah, I hear you.
I said, you wouldn't like it here either.
And that'll be something that Aaron will always remind me and make sure that I remember about that night.
Well, you know, I can't let you live it down.
That's all right. So.
I said, if Josh is weird, I'm just a king weirdo then, because I'm much more louder than Josh.
I was say, growing up here, I thought when I went up there, I was like, man, this is laid back up
yeah,
here.
This
What's
is
going on?
Yeah, see, the fact that Bethel doesn't have, like, Pentecostal, like, it's non-denominational,
yep.
It draw. I guess people aren't as afraid, but then yeah. When they walk in, they're like,
oh my
oh,
gosh,
okay. Yeah. The Vikings are coming. That's what somebody
you.
Said.
Is that right? So.
Now, I actually got to explain, you know, about when it mentions the trumpet in the scripture, it's actually the shofar, it's not an actual brass trumpet. And I got to explain that to a student here at BCA because she was really confused. She was like, and she wasn't being rude or anything.
Yeah.
She goes to a different church here in the community, and she was like, you know, I never understood why you all have those. And so I was able to explain it to her, and she wasn't, you know, once, I love what you said, Brother Chris, that once you give people scripture, it opens their eyes, and they're not as scared about these things, because they realize that it's not just people making things up or doing things to draw attention to themselves, but it's actually scripture.
Right.
So.
Right. So. Mm-hmm.
And of course, now you have. I know y'all was debating on stuff earlier, and you're all. But I tell the church, you know, I mean, scripture's right there. I don't understand it all. Probably never will on this side here, but I will. This is how I feel. Now, if you get ministers to say this ain't what this means, or this ain't for us, you better run.
Mm-hmm.
I believe you. I mean, the scriptures are. I mean, the Bible said it's profitable. And the book of Timothy. And like I said, I know some things you really get in there that don't, you know, the meaning, especially in the King James, is meanings is different in there. You know, like sleep, you know, it ain't always laying on your bed sleeping. It's spiritually dead or graveyard dead and different things like that. But still, you had to give the scripture. And then, you know,
that's
like
right.
Y'all was, you know, teaching this morning on the, you know, as far as enduring to the end or the once saved, always saved. Do you know that, they all still go by the same scripture? Like he that should, that endure to the end in the book of Matthew, that's what, like, we go by, I believe, he must endure.
Right.
Now you take people once saved, always saved. They look at that same scripture and use it. Yeah, we believe we must endure, but they don't see it the way that we see it. But I throw it out there, and if they want to keep going, I'm like, well, I believe what I believe, you believe what you believe.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and I think we teach this a lot. There's open-handed and closed-handed issues. Like, there are certain closed-handed issues that we would struggle to walk in fellowship with. But, like all of us in here, we're going to be pretty much solid on the essentials.
Yeah.
We might see different things on the open-handed, but if you can't worship with somebody who don't see everything the same as you, you may be the problem, not them.
Exactly.
Because then there's a lot of self-righteousness and pride there, because there is some things that we're just always learning. And we're,
right.
I mean, I've been studying for 18 years now, And I open the Bible and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm just beginning.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
I mean, it's just, and we're always learning. And I love, like, I love learning new perspectives because it's either going to prove me wrong or it's going to solidify what I do believe and make me increase more knowledge and understanding. So,
right.
I love the body of Christ, and I actually like how God is bringing different people together.
Yeah.
And we're realizing, like, if somebody don't believe in tongues, I'll still go to church with you.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. Like, I don't care. Like, you know, you don't have to believe everything that I believe. We just have to believe in one thing, and that is a man named Jesus died on a cross, right, 2,000 years ago. And he has given me life and life more abundantly. And if we repent of our sin and if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, we shall be born again. Yeah.
That's right. Amen. Before our brother Chris get ready to leave, they have Vacation Bible School coming up, and I was going to go ahead and let him announce that and tell us the times and stuff they got for that. So
it'll be July the 18th to the 20th, which is Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We're going to start, I think, at 5:30 Eastern time to feed the kids, and that way the parents can come, don't have to rush home and eat. And
mm-hmm.
Come, then we'll have that. And I think one night we got a lady that's got a food truck, I think maybe 20th, she's going to bring hot dogs and stuff, and we'll have that commencement that day, some maybe bouncy houses, a hayride afterwards, cook, just have a big old day that Saturday. So
it sounds great.
Awesome.
Everybody's invited, want to bring your kids. If we, you know, we'll have adult class if we got enough adults. A lot of times they drop them off, don't want to stay, you know, but we'll accommodate whatever we can.
That's right. Yeah. Sounds yeah. great.
That's awesome. You got any tent revivals coming up anymore?
We probably will this fall. It's been too hot right now.
Ooh, it's hot, ain't it?
The Lord's really going to have to press on it right now.
That's right, Brother Chris.
You're going to have a burning bush, right?
Yeah. He's pretty honest right now, ain't he? He's real honest right now.
I'll go. Like I said, he's going to have to trick me.
That's right.
Because it's hot.
I love it. Man. Well, good word. Good interview. Thank you so much, Pastor Chris, for coming in this morning. Pastor Josh, thank you for coming in on Tuesdays. Powerful time of prayer this morning.
Amen.
It was just great. I enjoyed praying with you guys. Listen in at 11 o'clock for this attempted a DJ hour.
That's right.
No, just kidding. It's just praying a DJ. I'm not a DJ.
Yeah.
I'm not a DJ. All right. Ms. Hannah, thank you as always. I want to read more of your study notes on the Bible there. I'm learning. I'm trying to think through some things. So love you guys. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.